Okay, so the passage that was on my heart for a while now, and especially last week, it's not a simple passage where the gospel could be easily or fairly simple explained. It is a slightly more challenge for me personally, but if there's any questions afterwards, please ask the people around you, please come and ask me. I'll try my best with that passage. What really counts here is that the gospel, that the good news from God comes across, and that you would get the core points from the Word of God about what God has to say to me and to you, to all of us here. So if you have your Bible with you, please open to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. And we'd like to look at a passage, three verses, Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. Hebrews 19 to 22. And yeah, let's read this passage and then we go further. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with a heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." In this world is full of problems. So as engineers, we look around the world and we see problems that we want to tackle and solve. For example, we want to have access, connect two places across a river. The engineer comes and builds a bridge. There is a mountain, and we want to get through that mountain to the other side. The engineer makes its plan and builds a tunnel, or makes the plans to build it. When we come to God, there is a problem that no engineer can solve. That problem, because it is such a great problem that there is just no engineer able to solve this problem. And this problem is one of access to God. And when we look at this letter here in Hebrews, and in chapter 10 here especially, it speaks about an access that there was blocked. And I like to also use the two-way chart here in the back. There's that broad road, you see. There's that door. And then there's a narrow way going up to heaven. Now that access to God was shut at some point. And we want to look here and take that phrase here where it says, we have confidence to enter the holy places. So the holy places. So the writer speaks about an entrance, right? Entrance to where? Holy places, heaven. How? By the blood of Jesus. So at this stage in the text, we are here where the author says how we enter. But we need to take a step back and explain the initial problem that blocked our way to enter. And the problem is a human problem. See, when it says holy places there in our text, enter the holy places, that holy place is where God is. God is holy. And that in itself is awesome, is amazing. You know what the problem is always? People are not holy. People have sinned. The Bible tells us from the very beginning that people have sinned. Now, what does it mean that people have sinned? And because people have sinned, they're unholy. They're profaned. Their thoughts, and if you examine your thoughts, if I examine my thoughts, my words, my actions, my desires, my self-will, and the times in my life, and if you examine your life, where we want to do, this is my way, and I want to go my way, and when that goes over what God's ways are, and God's holy ways are, where no lie can stand, where no stealing can stand. God is holy. We are not holy. And unholy things cannot come in God's presence. That's where the access is cut. When human sinned, when we turned to our own way, when we rebelled against a holy God, that is where the access was cut. You see the door open there, but initially, when people sinned, that door was shut. And what is wonderful, what is so serious about God's holiness, and what it means for us that the door is shut because of our sin, is at the same time, when it comes to the other side, wonderful. Because God is holy, that means God is not corrupt. The corruption that you see in the world, the corruption that you sense sometimes in your own heart, and the dirt and the cruelty, God is not like that. God is not like a human, that he would be cruel, corrupt, as we humans are so easily. But God is entirely pure. God is always right, you know, and God is light. So the very thing that shuts sinners out makes God's presence so wonderful, because so heaven is so beautiful and so desirable because sin cannot enter it. There is no lying in heaven. There is no lying in the holy places. There is no lying in heaven and in front of God. There is none of that. But since we have sinned, since we have gone our own way, we have shut ourselves out of heaven. We have no right to be in heaven. We have no right to be with God. Now, at this point, I'd like to ask you personally, have you personally taken the place of a sinner before God? It is one thing to say, we are sinner. Everyone is a sinner. But it's another thing to say in front of God, who knows everything, to say, yes, I personally, I've sinned. I am a sinner before God. I'm guilty. And I'm shut out because of my guilt. And this is where the good news comes in. If you take this place, this is what the Bible tells, all have sinned. All people have sinned and far short of the glory of God. And if you can take that place, there's good news for you. There's good news. If you refuse to take the place of a sinner, as the Bible describes us, as you know in your heart, then the good news won't make sense to you. But if you do, let me tell you more about these good news. So sin has closed the way to God, but God himself has opened the way through the body of Jesus Christ, as we read here, when it says about through his flesh, as through his body, He opened the way. And as you see on the chart behind us, that door is actually opened. And it's in the verse on there is a different one where Jesus is the door. What we see here, there's a bit more detail in it. It is actually to the body that the way to God is opened, the body of Christ, that he's given in death. And here we read, enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Now, this is where it gets a little more in-depth. But God has provided. And it connects with the payment that is required for our sins and the debt that we got ourselves in and the wages that we earned for sinning. God loved you and I so much that he sent his beloved Son. Jesus Christ came to earth to pay the fine, to pay for the crimes for us sinners. He paid for our sins on the cross. So when it says, by his blood, it speaks about him shedding his precious blood on the cross. That was the payment that was required to enter. See how it says enter? That is the payment, is the precious blood, the perfect blood. There's no other currency, or there's no other way to pay for our sin. It had to be pure blood, the blood of Jesus. And it is blood because, and it sounds cruel, because sin is cruel. Blood had to flow. Perfect blood had to flow. And it was the blood of Jesus that opened this door. It opened and up the opportunity for us to enter the holy places. And in the broader context of Hebrew, it speaks about the single way. See the chart there. Do you see a second door there? Is there a second path into heaven, to holy places? There is none. There's only one door. There's only one path. And there's only the blood of Jesus that is able to pay for my sins and for your sins. Now, and when I say that, there is many ways nowadays people attempt to get into the holy places. And the very common ones, you hear that if you talk about people, is generally people think, well, I try hard. I try to live a good life, to be a good person, and God will see that I tried hard. But the Bible does not say, nowhere, and it doesn't say here, enter the holy places by trying hard, or enter the holy places by feeling this is the place, having certain feelings. It does not say that. It does not say enter the holy places by religious duties or by coming to meetings. But it says clearly, enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. There is simply no other way. There's no other payment. There's no way to enter the holy places except by the blood of Jesus. Now my question is, what are you trusting to bring you into God's presence? What are you trusting that brings you into the holy places? Is it your goodness? Do you think you're actually not that bad? And is it the things that you do? Is it maybe for some it would be the family you belong to? Is it your feelings, that your feelings just tell you, yeah, you go to the holy places? Or is it the improvements that you make to your life? as we just looked at the verse, when the only thing that actually has substance, that's worth trusting, that is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus opens the way into heaven. That is the proper entrance to the holy places. It's the blood of Jesus. Now it's so beautiful here. So it's the blood of Jesus, the body that Jesus has given in death. That was the requirement, that the way is opened to the holy places, to heaven. But then it goes further into verse 21. And there it says, "And since we have a great priest over the house of God," and since we have a great priest over the house of God. So we will have to look, what is a priest? And that priest is a great priest, and he is over the house of God. What do these things mean? What do these words mean? So when some of you hear of a priest, you might think of a picture book of like some Orthodox church maybe, where a priest with certain tools. What is important to realize here, this priest is different. This priest is special, even from this context. In Hebrews, this priest is set aside as the one great priest. And that great priest is Jesus Christ. It says Jesus is the same who shed his blood. And what's so wonderful, it's the living way. It's a living great priest. Christ died for our sins. He gave his body, but he rose from the dead. And now he is the great priest. This is important because what provides the way to enter? It's the blood of Jesus. Who allows us to enter? It's Jesus Christ under his authority. See, it says over the house of God. He has the authority not only to open the way for you, but also to take you by the hand, to take you in. And tell you, yes, you belong, your sins are forgiven. That is the great priest who represents you and I. If we come to him, he would be the representative. I totally see why we do need a great priest. See, sin is so offensive to God. And when we get a grip what it means to be sinner and in front of a holy God, then I can see why we need a great priest, because it's a scary thing. It's to come into the presence of God, who is, he is very serious about sin, and there's serious consequences for sin. So, but we have a great priest that he's given his life, he's shed his blood. And he wants to represent you and me in heaven. So there's no one that could say he does not belong, because that great priest is over the house of God. He has the authority. He is the authority in heaven. So if you enter by his blood, and Jesus Christ, the great priest, says, you belong here, then all the opposing voices, there's no one that can question that. And the only way you can belong there is when your sins are forgiven, when your sins have been paid by the blood of Jesus, and when Jesus has received you and into heaven. It is not by in this context by by these other priests that would do certain sacrifices. They would shed blood daily. These priests would offer repeatedly sacrifices, and that work seemed to have never ended. They would stand and do this work. But the work, the blood that Jesus had given, his sacrifice was once. It took care of all sin, and it was completed. And we read also that he sat down, and that means, yeah, that means it's completed. So it's not because he's tired, but the work is completed, sin has been paid for, and so that's why he's a special great priest, not as others that you have seen even in nowadays churches. Jesus Christ is the great priest who is able to represent you perfectly in the heavenly places before God. And it is wonderful to have a living Savior who's given that perfect sacrifice. He died and he opened the way to bring sinners in, sinners like you and me. And this should give confidence. We're encouraged. We have confidence to enter the holy places. That's where our confidence is. Not in myself, or not in my feelings, or not my resume or the family I belong to, but we can take full confidence in the great priest, in the blood that he shed for you, for us sinners. But what is also solemn about this, and in the wider context of Hebrews, it speaks about this clearly, and this is not a light thing to reject. To reject this great priest, to reject his blood, and he rejects his authority over the house of God. It's not simply refusing somebody who offers you help. This is refusing God's appointed priest. It's refusing the only one who can bring sinners such as you and I close to God, into the heavenly places. So it says, if you will not come later on, then the question is, if you do not come through Christ, who else can bring you close to God? And if you refuse this great priest, what priest remains for you to bring you to God? So it's so serious that it speaks even that those who reject this great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that if they look elsewhere, all that there's left is the full judgment of God, fiery fire, it says, that will consume God's adversary. So this warning has to go alongside with this great news for you, for sinners like us, that the door has been opened, the blood has been shed, the perfect sacrifice was given, and a great priest is there for us. But the opposite, keep in mind as well, be warned that to reject Christ is very serious. There is no other way beside Christ, only the blood of Jesus. Now then further, we read a command or an imperative. Verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Now, based on what we have laid out, what Jesus Christ has done, who he is, now there is this word, let us draw near. So it does mean come to God. It does not mean stay away. It does not mean stand at a distance, but it actually means come by faith, assurance of faith. Trust in the Lord Jesus. So do not come on your own way, because the way has been opened by Christ. There is no other ritual, no other sacrifice to be made, because the perfect Christ, Christ Jesus has made, he shed his blood once for all. Do not come on your own terms or on your own worth, because it doesn't work. We're sinners. We cannot pay our own debt. And anything we can offer is not enough. Because that's the essence of sin. Sin, it does not mean to be a sinner it's not all the most wickedest thing since that I have made, but it's the extent that sin had on my life. Sin has touched every area of my life, of my will. So there's no way. Christ is the only way. The door is open. And there's this warm invitation for sinners. And so one other thing is also timing. Timing is of the essence. We do not know what happens tomorrow. So drawing near is not tomorrow. It's not after you improved yourself. It's not after you may be feeling better, but it is, draw near is now is the time. Now is it, everything is provided. What actually holds you back if everything is already completed in the Lord Jesus Christ? The door is open, the blood has been shed, the way is made for you to accept, to draw near. Full assurance. It's a full assurance. You don't need to be timid, but you can have full assurance because of what Christ has done. And it's sure, it can be trusted. And now the question is, will you come today? Will you come now by the blood of Jesus? And now I want to sum it up before I sit down and we sing a hymn. You and I, we are sinners. We have gone our own way. Christ has opened the way. He shed his blood. He's our great priest who represents us perfect. So therefore, come to God. He does represent those who come. If you do not come, there's nothing but a fearful expectation of God's judgment. So I urge you, and God, who loves sinners, he loves you. He desires that you would turn from your sin, that you would accept Christ, that you look to him and draw near to God. Let's sing.